Welcome to the Democracy Group, a network of podcasts about democracy, civic engagement, and civil discourse. In this feed, you will find a sampling of episodes from our podcast and the Democracy Group, as well as recordings from our events. If you enjoyed this podcast, then please visit democracygroup.org to find more like this. Now let's get to our featured episode.
Democracy is in the news a lot these days. It usually sounds something like this.
What once seemed like the end of history, the triumph of democracy, now feels like something else.
It's because democracy itself has become a source of anxiety, that there is so much fear that it's almost palpable in the atmosphere that somehow democracy is not performing up to specs.
Speaking today near Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, a pivotal site in America's Revolutionary War, President Biden framed the stakes of the 2024 election.
Whether democracy is still America's sacred cause is the most urgent question of our time. And it's what the 2024 election is all about.
But those headlines leave out the people and organizations who work tirelessly day in and day out to create a healthier democracy. It's time to change the narrative. Welcome to Democracy is Good News, a new series from the Democracy Group podcast network.
This is Jesse Nguyen from the Democracy Group. I'm excited to be hosting this second episode. Our second episode features interviews with religious organizations across the United States, namely the Habanim Dror Camp Galil and the Reform Congregation Ohev Shalom in Pennsylvania, and the Mormon Women for Ethical Government. These organizations show how faith communities are incorporating civic engagement and social responsibility in their programs, which you can learn more about in the show notes. First, let's meet David Weiss, the executive director of Camp Galil in Ottsville, Pennsylvania. Offered every summer from June to August, Camp Galil provides a range of opportunities for campers 7 to 17 years old to explore their civic duties. One of them is called High Park, which is modeled after High Park in London, where the campers speak in front of the whole community about any topics of their choice.
And that might mean talking about something that's happening at camp, and they want to see a change. Like, for example, we want more chocolate chip muffins on Friday morning, and so let's see that happen. Or we think that there is a gender imbalance among the older kids, and let's address that. Or they might talk about global topics like we're really concerned about climate change and let's do something about climate change. And so that happened every Friday. And the oldest campers facilitate that. And the staff sort of take a back seat to that. And it's really an organic, democratic activity. And the kids, they have to do a funny walk to the center stage to stand up and speak. And it's really fun. And whether you are a 7-year-old or a 17-year-old, everybody is paying attention.
David told me his favorite program for the kids is one where the youngest campers stage protests at camp to advocate for change. The change can be as simple as a later bedtime, but the activity teaches the kids that it's okay to disagree safely and civilly.
So they will talk about why they want a later bedtime. They actually organize like signs. They make signs about asking for a later bedtime, and they'll march with their counselor to the office and protest against camp leadership for this. And camp leadership will come out and engage with them and maybe have a little debate. And so depending on the situation, we might do where we compromise. Like, they might want to go to bed an hour later, and we say, okay, what about an hour later? And so then we learn about the art of compromise there. But basically, at the end of the day, they learn that, you know, sometimes you can stand up and sometimes you can make change happen.
In the state of Pennsylvania, change is happening in Reading as well. The state's April primary falls on the first day of Passover, which is a Jewish holiday that celebrates the Exodus and the freedom from slavery in Egypt. While many polling places inside synagogues and Jewish buildings are being relocated, Rabbi Brian Michelson affirmed the congregation's decision to maintain a polling site on their campus throughout the holiday.
Passover is a holiday that celebrates freedom, and we see the obligation and the opportunity to vote as part of the way we as Americans express our freedom. And so therefore, on Passover specifically, it really does seem important to make sure that we can allow that freedom to all of those who are within our district.
Between balancing the religious observance of the holiday with the civic duty of voting, Rabbi Brian told me a lot of thoughts went into making this decision, as the congregation also considered a handful of external factors.
So we thought about the inconvenience, we thought about the additional noise. We did think a little bit about security, because unfortunately life in synagogues over the last period of time has been a little bit more difficult since October 7th. And we now have security as at all of our services. And so we're trying to work with the county and the constable's office to make sure that we have safety and security without interfering with the election process. And so all of these things kind of went together. We also think that it's good, in a sense, PR, because for many people outside the Jewish community, this is their only opportunity to actually be in a sanctuary, be in a synagogue. And so it is an opportunity to say, look, we share similar values, democracy being one of them.
Looking ahead, Rabbi Brian told me about some of the aspirations the congregation has, which is to lead similar faith-based organizations in civic engagement and community outreach.
I think we have we've met most of our goals and our hopes, and we continue to do that. I think for us is we want to be an example. Plenty of other congregations open their buildings for voting, and I've had the conversation with other Jewish organizations. And for reasons of fear, concern about having people in and out of the building and those types of things, there have been a number of Jewish organizations who have chosen not to become polling places. And I want to hold us out as an example of saying, we've knowingly made the choice, we face the challenges, we realize what the challenges are, but that it's important for the community to see us as part of the broader community and not just worried about safety and security all the time. And that we're going to do what we believe is right as Americans for us to do.
For the Mormon Women for Ethical Government, or MWEG, co-executive director Jennifer Thomas told me, as they're also gearing up for election season, empowering women is one of their missions.
So there are a couple of things that I think we are doing this election year. First, anything we do in our advocacy areas, we have constructed our advocacy work to accomplish it in a way that builds citizens. So as part of that, those advocacy efforts, we teach them to, you know, engage with their elected representatives. We give them really well-researched information about the issue at hand. We give them trainings in peaceful communications. And then we offer them opportunities to express their personal voice, which is what citizenship is all about, right? To be able to either write an op-ed or to, we connect them with their representatives. We sometimes have them speak before committees or in press conferences. And then I think the second kind of our programs are those that meet that second mission that we talked about of empowering women. Those programs are all designed independently to build skills and capacity in women that are useful to them both in their lives, but also in civic engagement.
And it can take a lot for a group of people to harmoniously work together. But for MWEG, which has roughly 10,000 members in local chapters across 49 states, Jennifer said it only takes women who want to establish a healthy and proactive society to get involved and initiate change.
And so I think that one of the things that we uniquely draw on is the fact that many of the women, in fact, I'd say most of the women who have joined our organization, have really deep ties to their community. They have engaged in ways that they didn't really see as political because they weren't necessarily associated with the party or trying to get someone elected. But what they didn't realize that they were actually foundational to democracy, that all this community work, serving in on PTA boards, you know, knowing your neighbors, building community, volunteering to help immigrants and refugees, working to, you know, stop racism where it's, you know, happening in your community. All of these efforts that they were doing out of, I think, a call from their values in response to their faith values, actually, it turns out, were things all along that were helpful to democracy. And when we were able to create an organization that scaffolded that, that brought them into a community, it just multiplied and expanded their efforts and and their efficacy, right? Because instead of just doing these things independently, as they had in their community, or maybe just with a small group of women, suddenly they're able to do this in concert with thousands of women and in ways that are directed towards shared policy objective.
Some of the faith values Jennifer mentioned, though crucial, are not the priority objective that MWIC has. So how does MWIC educate its members about the importance of civic engagement when factoring in its religious context?
That is a really good question. And I think it's a particularly good question for people who might be listening to us and thinking, oh, okay, this is a church that I associate with proselyting, right? This is a church that I associate with going out and trying to kind of share my religious values. MWIC is not that. So we are not interested in promoting our particular faith. We are truly interested in promoting ethical government. And so where faith gets involved is the ways that it motivates women, particularly, I think, with some of these basic commandments that are shared across communities of faith. This idea that you need to love your neighbor like yourself, the idea that you need to kind of treat all human beings as they're equal in the sight of God. And those base values really motivate the work of the women of this organization.
For Camp Galil, the Reformed Congregation and MWIC, spiritual values are the common denominator these organizations use to promote civic engagement and incorporate citizens' duties in their programs and activities. And they're just three of the thousands of faith-based organizations across the country that are trying to build a healthier democracy by preserving and celebrating our freedom of expression. We'll be back next month with more stories about the people who are doing the hard work of democracy. For Democracy's Good News, I'm Jesse Wen. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for listening to this episode from the Democracy Group. If you want more podcasts like this, then visit democracygroup.org. There you will find our events, topics, and a newsletter as well. So head on over to democracygroup.org.